Hey, everybody, welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going good, actually. Just fine.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Well, that's always a good thing.
Yeah. I do have two puppies laying behind me on their bed, chewing on toys. So hopefully they're going to behave. I let them stay. I hope I don't live to regret that. But
we do know them. So, you know, chances are good they're not going to. But that's
awesome.
Yes. But welcome to our Wednesday Night Case Updates live stream.
Yes.
We have all kinds of crazy info for you. But first, let's welcome everybody in the chat. Colleen, Cranky, Sherry, Amy, Jacqueline, RJ, Bianca, Victoria, Barbara, Gigi, Fran, welcome. It's nice to have you all here. If you're listening after the fact, welcome as well. We love it when you can make it live, but we know that's not possible for everybody, and that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do have a lot to share tonight, as we always do, you know, but some of it's pretty bonkers. I thought, Katie, why don't we kick it off with an update on the murders in Moscow, Idaho, the Uvalde murders?
Okay.
Going on with that.
Well, I mean, per normal, they don't know shit. They're finally going to enter the home to remove some personal belongings for people that need them and, you know, things that they shouldn't need for their investigation. So that's happening here in the next day or so. They're going to... They wanted the public to know, like, you're going to see us there doing stuff. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're loading up requested items from people who live in the house and from family members of the victims and putting them in a box truck and taking them to a different location so they can get some of their stuff. I mean, imagine being a college student and having a murder happen in your home. And so it's now a crime scene and you can't go back there and all your shit's there.
Right. Like your books.
Yeah, are these kids even still finishing the semester? Maybe not. You know, maybe not.
Right.
But still, being able to access your stuff is a bit of a problem. There's one pretty good update. It still feels like grasping at straws, to be honest. But the police put on their Facebook page just yesterday that this car, not this specific car, this is a stock photo, but this style of car could have been in the area when the murders happened. So a white 2011 to 2013 Hyundai Elantra with unknown plates. They said the people in that car may have seen something or may know something. So they're not saying that they are a suspect in any way, but just that they may have seen something that could help the police. So they're looking for anybody who could have been in the area that night driving a car that is anywhere near this description.
Sure.
So again, it's a pretty broad stretch, but you know, they just don't know.
They don't. You know, I was reading an article that said that this is going to be this is a long game kind of investigation. Yep. And it is in all the forensics that have already been gathered in the house is where the solution to this case will come.
Yeah.
And that is a long, drawn out process. It takes forever to process all of that information.
Yeah.
Because there just is nothing jumping out at all about who this might have been.
Mm-mm. Nothing at all. So,
and that's just disturbing, you know?
It is. It's really, really disturbing. I mean, there's lots of rumors flying. You know, there's a lot of people looking at it from lots of different angles and people that, who know people, and you know, there's a lot of conjecture, but the police aren't giving up much and basically kind of throwing it out there that, you know, they really don't know. So it is something.
It is. And you know, when you have a college town like that, I mean, and it's right on the border between Idaho and Washington, of course, and that makes it harder. There are a lot of people that come and go from that town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cranky says she went through a similar issue when she was in college, except it was my apartment building had a fire.
Oh, my
God. No kidding. And then you couldn't get your things. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
And Paula says you'd think anyone in the area at that time would have tried speaking to the police already, even if only to establish they had nothing to do with the murders.
Right. We are talking about a small town.
Yeah. It's not a big population of people to go through, but.
So we'll keep tabs on it per normal, but it is concerning. Yeah, there was, Colleen, you're right. There was a guy, the food truck creeper, one of the people that, the guy who'd acted creepy with the girls at the food truck, that, there is talk that he's actually left the country. So that is concerning and weird. Mm-hmm. But per normal, seems like everything in this case is just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope for that community, and particularly for all those families, that we ever get answers in this case.
I know. It's starting to feel like something that, and you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but to have no suspect at all, 3 weeks out from four murders, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Yeah. Certainly.
Cranky, and that's very true. No one will speak up if they were getting high or something. Or if they saw something. Right. If they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing, they're not going to speak up.
Right. Well, hopefully their hope, because they did open an online tip line that was anonymous.
Right.
Basically, you could just text into. And they were hoping that that might bridge the gap there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's true. If you were up to something. Or the other thought I had is that if you were inebriated, maybe you don't know. Maybe you did see something. Maybe you're not sure.
I don't even realize. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those things are a possibility. And I mean, none of it's good news at this point. Ugh. Well, thank you for that.
Yep.
We do have a little bit of good news in another case we've been following. In the murders in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. There has now been an arrest. So the person of interest, Joseph Kennedy, he was the guy that owns the salvage yard, that took off on the run after police found the bodies of those four men in the river, has now been formally charged with their murders.
Yeah.
We don't know a lot yet.
Yeah.
But it does appear that they may have been trying to rob him.
Yeah.
Now, something that I did learn that I didn't know was that someone, and it was actually a police officer, it was a deputy who lives near the scrapyard, heard 10 to 12 gunshots from a high-powered rifle on one of the night that these men disappeared. That's new. So we have that. And... you know, we don't know exactly where they're going to go with this or what evidence they have against them. But I mean, it would have to be something. I mean, he had to have, I mean, killed them quickly. How do you kill four grown men quickly enough that one of them doesn't get to you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he dismembered them, of course, put them in the river and. Yeah. If he hadn't dismembered them, he might have gotten away with it. Right. Well, and some people are saying, well, if he was just being robbed, shooting them would have been self-defense.
Right.
But then you go and you cut up the bodies and you lie about all this, and then that makes it very sketchy. So we don't know yet if he was being robbed. This is just a guess. Was he being robbed, or was he involved in this in some way and decided to take whatever, you know, money was coming out of this situation for himself? We don't know, but Joseph Kennedy has been charged in their murders, and so we'll keep an eye on that. I'm glad at least they're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Because this is another one that has seemed to have nothing.
Yeah.
Except for this one guy.
I can't imagine he did not have an accomplice, at least in the dismembering and disposing of the bodies. I just can't imagine that he didn't.
what a massive job for one person to do. And he's an older guy. Mm-hmm. And these men were younger, big men. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's, I think we still don't know the whole story at all.
Yeah.
But
who knows if we ever will, but. Oh.
Yeah, we may not. Well, we'll see what happens yeah. with him if he takes this to trial or if he pleads it out. Mm-hmm. Katie, tell us what's going on in the Whitmer case.
Okay, so this is the Gretchen Whitmer abduction attempt or abduction mm-hmm. Conspiracy to abduct the governor, Gretchen Whitmer. And it's been in court for a bit now. Let's see, mm-hmm. I'll show you a picture of this is Governor Whitmer, and this is the main guy, the main planner guy.
Yeah.
His name is Adam Fox. So Adam Fox, along with some other men, they were very pissed towards the latter part of COVID. This happened about a month before the last presidential election. Mm-hmm. And the feds had gotten a tip that, or the FBI had gotten a tip that there was an abduction attempt being planned and prepared to carry out by these men. And they were very radicalized, of course. And at any rate, when they were grabbed and investigated, they had a very detailed plan. They did have the means. They did have the ways. They did have an all-out revolution, as the prosecutor called it, in play. Mm-hmm. And of course, they were arrested, much to the anger of a lot of people, surprisingly. Like, is this the world you want to live in? But, well, anyway, the prosecutor called it a bona fide revolution. He said this was no run-of-the-mill kidnapping plot. He targeted not just any victim, but an official victim. Not just any official, but the head of a state. He was no follower. He was an active recruiter and prime mover. The terrorism enhancement here literally takes Fox's guideline score off the chart, but it applies. His goal was not personal gain. It was a bona fide revolution. I think that is just damn scary.
It is. And I'm so happy for Governor Whitmer that they didn't take it out, weren't able yeah. to carry it out, because that's so yeah. scary.
But the system worked, right? They were located, they were arrested, they were prosecuted, and here they are. So they are now seeking, so he's now been convicted. Now they're just seeking a life sentence for him, mm-hmm. a life sentence. And of course, there are many that are saying that's really outrageous and really unfair, but basically this is what they're saying. You can't do shit like this and get away with it.
Right. So can't organize a group to kidnap a government official, the head of your state, mm-hmm. and think you can get away with it. I'm not against life for him, honestly. If anything, right. we need to be showing people immediately that domestic terrorism is never going to be okay. And yeah. you are going to get hit yes. very hard for it.
Absolutely. My thoughts as well. So we'll see. If in the U.S. federal system, life sentences do not carry the possibility of parole. Oh, so if he okay. is sentenced with a life sentence, there is no parole possible.
Wow.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. But truly, terrorism. Yeah. Domestic terrorism.
Most definitely domestic terrorism. No, we have to keep calling it that. We have to be prosecuting people for it when they commit mm-hmm. it. Like, we have to smack down very hard right now on yep. all of these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Get a hold on this shit. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So there you go.
Well, here's a case in Michigan. This is not a case that we have been following until I saw an article about it today and felt that we should probably share. A man in Michigan, his name is Hassan Choker or Coker, not sure.
He
made anti-Semitic and racist threats to the parents and children at a preschool and synagogue last week. And so he was being being held on $1 million bond. And so he had a bond reduction hearing today on Zoom. And this gentleman chose this moment when asking to have his bond of $1 million, reduced, chose to, let me just say it how they say it in the article, because, he pulled down his pants and he mooned the judge. Let's just say it. That's what he did. Pulled his pants down. He mooned the judge, Regina Thomas, then revoked his bond. So it's not $1 million.
Oh, gosh.
He just doesn't get one at all now, because apparently when you moon the judge, that's a pretty good indication that your ass should stay right in jail.
Hey, he really showed his ass there.
He definitely did. That's so funny you said that, because I had thought that earlier too.
Or made a real ass of himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has on social media, he has posted videos and statements about buying guns. And in a post, he said, "Your Jew tactics will only backfire on you. You have no place on this earth." And then he saw a bunch of terrible expletives toward Jews. A storm is coming to wipe out all of our lives. Our lives. God. I don't know what. That's a little scary. They did have to mute his microphone. This is sounding familiar. Got a little Daryl Brooks vibes going here. He was like pacing around in the cell where they were holding him, and they'd had to mute his microphone because he was yelling and pointing and being really inappropriate. So one of the attorneys starts speaking again after an outburst from him, and he turns away from the camera and exposed his rear end while craning his neck and appearing to continue shouting at the camera. So he's still yelling at the judge while he is also mooning her. I mean, I guess he didn't really want bond. I don't know. The judge was like, yeah, definitely.
It's the entitlement here for me. He actually thought he was entitled to bond.
Definitely. And his attorney claims that his client was expressing his First Amendment rights and freedoms of speech during the synagogue incident. And let me tell you something, hate speech is not protected under the First Amendment. And we've talked about that a lot. And we've talked about the threatening to harm people does have consequences. You cannot do it. And he clearly has, I mean, I guess you can do it, but this is what happens. And this may have been another form of freedom of speech for him. I mean, I don't know. All I have to say is I hope this is not another Daryl Brooks situation. Right. He does have an attorney right now. So hopefully, Amy, he's not going to be defending himself, because that's just the last thing we need.
You know who also has an attorney right now? Daryl Brooks.
Daryl Brooks. Yeah. Did we talk about that last week?
I kind of think we did. But yeah, Daryl Brooks. in the next phase of trying this asshole for all of the things he's done, he actually does. And now he's trying to appeal. Oh, I don't think we did talk about it, actually.
I'm thinking now we didn't. We talked to each other about it. But yeah, he has filed his intent to have his conviction overturned, which, I mean, give me a break.
Yes, with a handwritten letter to the courts.
Yeah. All about the egregious legal errors in his trial and, all that ridiculous crap. I'm sure there was something to do with evidentiary jurisdiction or whatever the hell that thing was he was always talking about. Nobody was having it out of anybody right now.
Yeah, but he actually does have an attorney now. But yeah, this is his note.
Yeah. Yes, post-conviction relief is what he is seeking.
Yeah. The most important part, it said, it's not my intention to bring any controversy before the court. Of course it isn't. No, that never happened. Your intention ever. But it is my intention to have this post-conviction relief matter. reviewed and heard as quickly as possible, as there are clear issues of the law, mm-hmm. and legal facts in this matter. More word salad? Okay, Daryl. Sounds good. Yep.
After the murder and mayhem that he committed, still fully unaware.
Cranky says he does not consent to be called by that name.
Right. Well, you know, he also didn't consent to being sentenced for the crimes that he was convicted
of. That's
true.
He did not.
Really did not stop the judge, did it? Mm-hmm. Did you know that that judge is now running for Supreme Court in her states?
It seems like a slam dunk.
I mean,
I think Supreme Court of the world would be fine with me for her.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy. Okay. Let's talk about Elizabeth Holmes briefly. Mm-hmm. So you may not remember this because it's been quite a while ago. It's like some things are finally trickling through the system after COVID. Mm-hmm. But Elizabeth Holmes, her company was Theranos. And this is the company that basically said that they could, you know, they could do all of these really amazing and revolutionizing of medicine blood tests right. And she is conservative, great, Cranky. That is true that judge is conservative. However, I also think she's a pretty fair judge.
True.
But anyway, with Elizabeth Holmes, she committed fraud. She lied her ass off about what her company could actually do. And tons of people invested in it. It was a huge debacle, but it was several years ago now.
Right. Well, that's the Theranos company.
Yes, Theranos.
The whole thing, I'm going to be honest. I thought that this was a movie. I mean, it was a movie, but I didn't realize this was a real thing.
No, it's very much a real thing.
But it's a real thing. Yeah.
Yes, the one drop blood tests. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Victoria. And so it was supposed to just revolutionize medicine. Well, it was a bunch of bullshit. Right. It wasn't real. They didn't actually.
And she always knew it wasn't real.
Yeah. Well, she is pregnant, due to have a baby any minute. And so really doesn't think she should have to go to prison, guys, because she's had a baby.
Gosh.
She's completely moved on with her life. She's already had a child, now having another. And somehow she just shouldn't have to go to prison for all these crimes that she committed because, guys, she's pregnant. She has strong ties to her partner and family, including her son and soon-to-be-born child. So that's her reasoning for not having to go to prison for 13 years, which is what she's sentenced to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, whatever, Elizabeth Holmes, like, good luck with that. Because mm-hmm. I don't think any of that is going to help you at this point. Mm-hmm. It's very Ghislaine Maxwell-y feeling and sounding.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Women do have babies in prison all the time. I mean, it's not great, mm-hmm. but there are family members to take and raise that baby. And, you know, there are things, but I mean, maybe she should have considered doing that and getting pregnant while she's on trial for all of that. Like, I mean, seriously. Yeah, she moved on. Right. Yeah. But what about the people that invested their life savings? Exactly. She just bankrupted people.
Right.
Right. Super tired. Me too, Victoria, of rich white ladies getting BS sentences. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you know, I think it's unfortunate anytime a woman has to have a baby in prison. However, Elizabeth Holmes absolutely knew she was going to go to prison. She 100% did what she was charged with and was convicted. So, fingers crossed that she does not get her white lady tears outcome that she's seeking. It's a ridiculous thing to say, but she has a close relationship with her family and her children, don't you know? Like mm-hmm. other women that go to prison don't also have families and relationships. It's such an implication of, well, I'm a wealthy white woman. I actually have a real family. I don't know what it's just right. So,
well,
it's so white privilege-y.
Guys, it's fine. I've moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that fraud stuff anymore. I decided to have kids instead. I mean,
give me a fucking
book. Yay. Yeah. Lucky so much
kids.
Yeah. Gross. I know.
Watch
so
PTA money. I don't know.
See what happens there. You know, mm-hmm. fingers very much crossed that she does not get any special treatment because she doesn't deserve any. for what she's done. Not at all. Katie, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the FedEx murder?
Absolutely. And then I do have an update in Michael Vaughn as well. Oh, the FedEx murder. We haven't actually covered it. This happened last week. My God, it's horrific. Mm-hmm. Most of you have probably heard about it. I'm going to pull up a picture here. A couple. This is the victim. This little girl was in her family's driveway in Texas, in the Paradise area of Texas last week. And the FedEx driver, Tanner Horner, scooped her up and murdered her. And we don't know what all. And then dropped her on the side of a country road. She and her stepmom had had a bit of a fight, and she'd been sent to her bedroom. And then stepmom couldn't find her and looked for about an hour, called the police. They actually did an Amber Alert, which I think is really interesting because they didn't have they didn't know who took her, but they did an Amber Alert, which is new and good. Mm-hmm. But they searched for a couple of days. The police got a tip about FedEx or the FedEx driver, and they searched mm-hmm. his truck. And that's when they finally arrested this guy. This is Tanner Horner. So let me tell you a few things about Tanner. So Tanner is really freaking weird. He, on his Facebook page, he describes himself as an Aspie, or that's another term people with Asperger's describe themselves as. I don't know if he's diagnosed or not. He called himself a metalhead musician. Lots of other things. He called himself a drummer, former drummer at Walmart, and a former drummer at Albertsons. okay.
Wow. I had no idea that Albertsons and Walmart had rock bands.
Mm-hmm. He says on his Facebook page, he describes himself as, Aspie, non-neurotypical musician, metalhead, love is stupid, and not to mention completely asinine. His Facebook page is full of pictures of him at the gym, holding a baby. We're not sure who, I think it might have been a nephew. Anyway, there was this huge search for poor little Athena. It was just horrifying, and everybody was scared to death, you know? Mm-hmm. About where in the world this poor little thing could be. And then, of course, you know, they picked him up. And he, we believe, actually confessed. Now, mm-hmm. will he plead not guilty? Of course he will. But one of the really interesting things is that in 2019, a girl had posted on Facebook accusing him of raping her. And mm-hmm. then after this happened, in 2019, she wrote on Facebook, friendly reminder that Tanner Horner is a rapist. And then in the comment thread, another woman on that post said that he drove for Uber and called him a transphobic rapist in a pop punk band. What a shocker. Mm-hmm. And then that same woman who wrote that initial post about him being a rapist, on another post about this incident, wrote, Tanner Lynn Horner, the man who raped me at 16, 8 years ago, murdered Athena Strand, a 7-year-old girl. I hope the family gets the justice they deserve. I hope he rots. And I hope that everyone who didn't believe me when I've talked about this for 8 fucking years does now. Fuck all of you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
He's being held on a $1.5 million bond. He is from Lake Worth, Texas. It looks like he also lived in Fort Worth for a while and Benbrook. But he's currently in the Wise County Jail. He is on suicide watch. And that's about what we know. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just going to watch this play out through the courts. It is horrifying. It's extremely sad. It's completely senseless.
And just out of the blue like that. And if he committed a crime like that while he was out delivering for FedEx, I mean, is this the only time this has happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You can't imagine. Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
Keep an eye on
that. Colleen said she thinks that's his baby. Maybe it is. Okay.
But Linda said too that okay. his baby's about one. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Amy said, oh yeah, the rollback rockers. Good, Amy. Lord. There you go. The roll, you know, from Walmart, the rollback rockers.
Yeah, rollback rockers. I like it. Okay.
The fake, that fake job, but that,
Yep. So that's what is happening with that case. There was a vigil, I believe, for Athena just tonight. I mean, the community is just absolutely destroyed over it, as you can imagine. The poor law enforcement, the press conferences, those poor guys can hardly keep it together. They are just so broken up and horrified by this. It's a horrible thing.
Kids that kid's age, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, somebody in the chat saying, you know, just we're just not safe anywhere anymore. And it certainly feels that way, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
To the point that the DOJ has now released that the LGBTQIA community and the Jewish community are at serious risk. And the migrant community at serious risk of continued targeting.
Domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
Continued domestic terrorism. They're not shying away from calling it that, which good.
Well, I'm glad they're not, because boy, we're not seeing very many other law enforcement agencies use those terms, and they need to.
No, and the media either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So what's up with the Michael Vaughn case?
All right. So there was finally the long-awaited press conference to talk about what they found in the Wanderer's yard. It was nothing. They said that they believe that the body may have been in Wanderer's yard at some point and has been moved, though they didn't talk about why. It sounds like the dogs did hit in the yard, but then when they dug, they came up with nothing. They were also going to dig the neighbor's yard, but they said the dogs did not hit over there, but they were still going to do some, or not digging, sorry, some sonar searching of the neighbor's yard. They wanted to be clear that the neighbors, who, you know, have been really beat up by podcasters and stuff because they are both registered sex offenders, they have been completely compliant and cooperative and opened their home, their yard, everything. So, but what they did say in that press conference that was interesting is that they have introduced two new suspects. Remember Adrian? I
can see their faces. Yes.
Remember
Sarah,
when
we were talking about Adrian?
Yeah, Sarah said that Adrian accidentally killed Michael. She didn't say accidentally. That Adrian killed Michael, and he didn't dare tell anyone, so Stacy buried him in the yard. Mm-hmm. And we all said, "Who the hell is Adrian?" Mm-hmm. This is Adrian.
Okay.
And then Brandon Shurtleff. So Brandon was actually interviewed a day before this came out from the Fruitland Police Department on a podcast, because the Wanderers posted pretty prolifically on social media. And so people went to their social media. They saw people they were talking to and about and tracked them down and have been talking to them. So this is the second time now that we know of that YouTubers have interviewed potential suspects in this case. Knock it off, for God's sake.
Prior to the police. Mm-hmm. It's awful. I mean, get some brains, you know?
So this guy had already interviewed Brandon, and then the police announced him as a suspect that they were trying to locate. I believe that they thought he was in... I'll have to double check. They thought that he might have been in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, they believe, is in Toledo, Ohio, but kind of travels between California and Ohio. So as last we knew, the police were trying to hunt down these two men. Then that same podcaster came out like he was some kind of hero because he'd already found him and interviewed him. You're fucking not. You're interfering. You're interfering
in a criminal case.
You have to stop. And, you know, was urging Brandon to turn himself in. But Brandon had, of course, now blocked him. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. It's making true crimers look like absolute nuts.
Yeah. We have a role to play, but that is not it. We don't interview suspects.
You're not the police. Good Lord.
Right. And could the podcast interview be admissible in court? It would depend on a lot of factors. I mean, it could be subpoenaed, sure, but you know, have they already Have things been tainted because of that interview? That's possible too.
Right.
So it is always a stupid idea for a podcaster to interview a potential suspect.
He came back in the second podcast about it and was like, Brandon lied to my face. Oh.
Really, dumbass?
Did you think he was going to come on here and admit something?
You call the cops and say this is where he is, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Would podcast, yeah, it may be admissible in court, sure. And
I mean, yeah, but it's just, I mean, it's not evidence. It's
no,
not
but it's also, anything. It's tipping people off. It also could be tainting the jury pool. Like, there's just a lot of reasons why it should not be done.
No.
Anyway, so the last we knew, the Fruitland police were still searching for these guys. And that's about the last we know. And that was last Thursday, I believe, that press conference came out. So, So, again, it begs the question, are the Wanderers just crazy? Did any of this happen? The police are sure it did. They said that they are very close to charging Stacy and Sarah.
They can't charge Sarah.
No, they can't charge Sarah yet. We believe she's still on a psychiatric hold, but so that's what we know. It's not a hell of a lot, but it is interesting. The new, the calling in the two new suspects. So,
well, and to know who Adrian is, because Sarah had referenced that person, you know, I mean, it is steps in the right direction.
And apparently these two were both living in that house at the time. They were all living there. Yeah.
Paula says, YouTubers who want to solve crimes, here's a thought, become police officers. It isn't that hard, unfortunately. Right.
No.
I mean, I get wanting there to be justice. I do. And I get that, you know, when you've worked around, you know, figuring out who people are and where they are and that kind of thing, you may have skills better than police. I mean, especially better than Little Fruitland, Idaho. But if you figure out where that person is, you don't talk to them. You tell the police where they are. That's what you
right.
do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And why did they take that poor little boy? Right.
Yeah.
You know, if this was straight up a kidnapping all along, you know,
right.
was it an accidental death? We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you will probably remember we brought this to you a few weeks ago with Lucy Studi McKitty.
Yes.
Who has, you know, come forward and said that she believes her father, Donald Dean Studi, was a serial killer who was disposing of bodies on their property, and that she has some memories of that as a little girl. Mm-hmm. Well, great news. They officials are now finally digging on the property. So this is in Iowa, and that authorities have started. Have begun digging on the land, and you know it's going to take some serious time for sure. And there's that whole well that's been filled in that she, you know, recalls putting them putting bodies in and putting lye in on top and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but it does look like there's some images of, you know, lots of vehicles and activity out there on that property. It does look as though they are in fact finally going to dig up that property and see what they can do. They did take soil samples Tuesday because they're testing the soil for human remains, and they brought in heavy equipment and crates to haul things away.
Wow. All right. So interesting, because they had said that they were going to take tap the well, right?
Yes.
To take some deep samples of the well.
Yeah. Her father is not still alive. No, he's dead.
No.
She has been trying to bring this to somebody's attention since she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And just only very recently got the sheriff in that town to take her seriously. Mm-hmm. And they brought three different cadaver dogs out there at different times. And all three of them indicated that there were remains there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had some other, you know, some of the siblings, she's got siblings, and then there's half siblings and step siblings. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch. And there are other there are people who confirm that they do believe this is true. And then other siblings who say it isn't, and, you know, whatever. But I think we're going to finally know.
Yeah. Hey, Spirit.
Once and for all, if in fact Mm-hmm. Her father was a serial killer.
Yeah. Well, and one sibling that commits suicide as well. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, suicide has been a huge theme in that family.
Yes, it is.
Maybe. Well, maybe.
Supposedly, both her mother and her stepmother commit suicide. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does make you wonder now.
Right.
If, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I'm so happy to hear. I really didn't think they'd start digging until spring. So.
Right. It must be warm enough there still.
It must be. I'm happy that the show is going on because this is a very interesting case. If they find bodies there, he could end up being one of the most prolific serial killers in the U.S., in U.S. Yeah. history.
She says body count is 50 to 70 people.
Yeah. Yep.
It still doesn't beat Samuel Little, but I don't know if anybody will.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of gross and disgusting humans, let's talk about Samuel Bateman. Samuel Bateman is a Mormon polygamist leader in Arizona who has been arrested. I think you can only imagine what for. First of all, he's had 20 wives, one of them being his 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Just horrific. So they basically have raided their compound. They've removed a bunch of underage girls ranging from ages 11 to 16. Earlier this year, they went into state custody and have been placed in group homes. And, oh man, I feel for those kids. I got to tell you, I worked in a group home where there were some boys who had been kicked out of their... They were part of the Warren Jeffs polygamous compound. And what happens with boys is they send them all away because the old men want to marry all the young girls. And so they want the young men out of there. Mm-hmm. And so these boys were living in such substandard situation with a man in Salt Lake City that was supposedly taking care of them and wasn't. And they had to split those kids up into a bunch of group homes. And some of them came to us.
Yeah.
And I have never met a group of young teenage boys who were more angry.
Yeah.
And honestly, furious. They were terrified.
Terrified
themselves, but they were terrifying as well. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, they went back to their mothers because their mothers were threatened with abandonment charges because they had abandoned them.
Right.
And they did go back to their mothers. Now, this case is a little bit different. These young girls have also been sent into group homes wherever they can find a place to put them.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you
the weirdest part about this. Well, one of the weirdest parts about this guy. This guy's middle name is Rapplee. Rappy Lee? Rapy Lee?
I'm going to go with the latter.
Yeah. When I read his middle name, I was like, holy shit, can that get creepier?
I was interested because that's not like a Book of Mormon name.
No, it isn't. I don't recognize that name at all.
Not a biblical name
at all.
It's
not a Mormon name.
Scriptural name. No. Yeah.
No, and there are a lot of Mormon names that are Mormon, come from Mormon scripture, and that is not one.
Mm-mm.
So, I don't know. But I'm sure going to be hearing a lot more terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did a story on him.
Yes.
Gosh, months ago when he was first arrested for hauling his kids around, or some kids, and it turns out they were probably his wives, in a U-Haul trailer.
Yes.
With a bucket in it for a toilet.
Yeah.
And taking these children across state lines.
Right.
And at the time, we covered it and we talked about it and we were like, maybe there's not a lot here. Maybe this is not a case that, you know, we need to cover. And Christy was like, no, I think we do need to cover it. There is more here. Yeah. There's some shit here. And we went, all right, we're covering it. And we did. And we've been watching ever since to see what else would come from it. And here it is.
Yeah, here it is. Ugh. He was raised in the FLDS branch. He spun off and started his own sect because, you know, it's just much easier to rape young girls when you're the prophet apparently.
Yeah, he was so bad, the rest of them didn't want him.
Yeah, he was bad enough that the FLDS didn't want him. That tells you something right there. Mm-hmm. So, horrifying. I'm sure there's more to come. But yeah, the big thing that's come out now is the sexual abuse happening and that his own 9-year-old daughter mm-hmm. was one of his quote-unquote wives.
Yep.
Guys, what is happening in this world right now? Somebody said earlier, we need a healing circle on the psychic hour tomorrow night. I think you're right.
That's a good idea. Yep.
We do, because things are gross and horrible right now in so many ways. Mm-hmm. In so many ways. There is a scheduling conference held that will be held tomorrow in the Dave Alvalo case.
Yeah.
And we're thinking we may get a new trial date out of that. They also have mm-hmm. to reschedule their pretrial conferences. Mm-hmm. And that is, they are being those, that's going to be one hearing with both defendants in it.
Yeah.
Of course, there are going to be no video cameras, unfortunately. So, no, not going.
Will Chad and Lori finally be in the same room together?
Will they?
No, or will either one or the other of them not come? I did not see an order to transport for Lori.
Yes, there's one has come out.
Is today. There? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an order to transport did come out today. So, yeah, I suspect they may actually be in the same room for the first time mm-hmm. since he went to jail.
It's going to be interesting because Pryor wanted to put this off until October of next year.
Yeah.
And Lori's attorneys, Lori did not waive her right to a speedy trial, which means mm-hmm. her trial should have been last month.
Right.
Now, of course, there have been delays partly because of her mental health. So, you know, you kind of have to take that into account. But yeah. I do not think they're going to wait till October of next year because Lori didn't waive her rights.
Right.
This has to happen ASAP.
And it appears to me that Judge Boyce is getting pretty antsy. He's pretty bad mm-hmm. with all of this. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're going to come, you know, we'll get a date out of that. We will not mm-hmm. be going. The flu and COVID are just rampant here right now. Mm-hmm. Our numbers are way too high and no, mm-hmm.
people don't care about their germs.
Mm-hmm. They don't. And so we can't take that risk, unfortunately, but
no,
fortunately, East Idaho News will be there and they will be our source because they always are. And they are very mm-hmm. good at, you know, keeping our community up to date on what's happening. So we'll be able to tell you guys pretty quickly.
Yeah. But expect some major pearl clutching from Pryor because he's not like this at all.
No, because this is going to speed everything up.
Yeah. So do you have a prediction?
I think it's going to be more like early summer.
See, I'm right around April. Yep. I'm
thinking
April.
May, June. You know, because I mean, I can hear Pryor bitching about the voluminous mm-hmm. everything. So a couple of other things in Dave Alvalo. The prosecution has come back and responded to the defense's motion about the death penalty being unconstitutional. It was pretty interesting. You know, I mean, the prosecution went for the death penalty, so you know they're going to be, you know, saying mm-hmm. that there's no reason to not have the death penalty. Mm-hmm. All they've done is just release a brief. There's not been an actual hearing on that Mm-mm. or anything. They also did respond back with the request about, you know, not getting all the evidence. And they did say that the FBI is still continuing to conduct interviews on their behalf mm-hmm. and that there may be information and interview information still to come. Because those interviews haven't been completed yet, but they again said that they have turned everything over to the defense that has actually occurred.
Interesting.
Well, and honestly, I mean, wouldn't they need to go to the FBI for that information directly? There's a lot of stuff about people not wanting to turn over information they didn't themselves generate. So there will be some issue about that with FBI interviews. The prosecutor's office is going to want the FBI to release that, not the because it's not there. They didn't generate the documents.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But they did say that there are interviews being done by the FBI on their behalf. That is an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, Colleen says, good point. My kiddo has RSV right now, and it's terrible. Yeah, there's so
it's
much
horrible right now. Yeah, my husband's step siblings, a bunch of their kids have had it. And yeah, there's kind of been this belief that RSV really is just for little teeny kids, but that's not true. And sure like, right now. Especially like in the teenage population right now, it's really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Colleen says she's 16 and she's been sicker for longer than she was with COVID.
Whew. Yeah.
Awful.
It's a B. Yeah.
Right. And Paula, I agree with you. Paula says, I really wish the prosecution would say we are ready to go to trial today, Your Honor. They probably would say that at this point. They're not holding anything back at this point. It is mm-hmm. the defense attorneys that are holding things up.
It's interesting, though, isn't it, that Pryor is the one that keeps trying to throw the brakes on, and he's had a hold of this case by far the longest.
Yes.
It's crazy. He's the one that's like, I just need more time. I just can't possibly. Mm-hmm. I'm just not ready. And Lori's attorneys were ready. They would have gone to trial in January when it was scheduled for.
They would have.
Hell, they were ready to go in October.
Mm-hmm, they were.
Yeah.
So, oh, Cindy, we did already cover the Moscow case. We talked about it earlier in the episode. So, yes, there's a little bit of information. It's not a lot, but it is earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. If you missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's everything.
Marcus Spanavello.
Oh, Spanavello. I forgot. Tell us about him. He's such
a bitch. Yeah. So this is the case of Cassie Carley. This happened back in March in Florida. She was a young mom. A mom, not, well, whatever. Anyway, she was a mom with one little one mm-hmm. whose ex-fiance, I think. She wasn't actually married to him. Marcus Spanavello was the last person to have seen her. They were supposed to be handing off custody. And she lived with her dad. And after she was supposed to meet with Marcus, she never came back. And mm-hmm. her dad finally reported her missing. Thank you, Victoria, in Navarre, Florida. Mm-hmm. And she was missing for a time before they finally found her in Alabama, mm-hmm. buried in a shallow grave in a barn. And what we know is that Marcus was working in that area at the time. And so, of course, he was arrested and extradited back to Florida. Well, eventually, he was supposed to actually go to trial in October. And they have postponed it throughout October. And then eventually, in November, dropped the charges against him and handed it over to Alabama to try him. Since there was some jurisdictional, questions about who should be in charge of this, considering, that it right. crossed state lines. So he's been charged in Alabama now. He's been indicted on abuse of a corpse charges in Alabama. One of the biggest problems right now is that the medical examiner cannot come up with a cause of death. It's undetermined. Mm. And that's causing a real problem in being able to prosecute this fool. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, something happened to Cassie Carley.
Yeah.
And somehow she got from Florida clear to Alabama and buried in a shallow grave.
Right.
I mean, they're still working on a case against him. And so, of course, the abuse of a corpse charges are what they have right now. But I did, too, Colleen, wondered if they'd make it federal, considering it crossed state lines. And maybe they still will. But this is where it sits right now. So mm-hmm. he is at least on charges now in Alabama, but sad, frustrating case. He is such an arrogant ass.
Oh, he is awful.
They picked him up in Tennessee when they initially arrested him. And when they picked him up, he looked at law enforcement and said, lawyer. That's all he said. Fuck you, Marcus.
Yeah, absolutely. Awful. Well, in that undetermined cause of death, it doesn't mean it's not a homicide.
No.
But it also doesn't mean it is. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. So I hope they do get the feds involved because they may need some help with that autopsy and really getting down to what is cause of death. Because they've got to have that because they can't even charge him with murder.
Yep.
It's yucky. All of this is yucky, you guys. Damn it.
Come on. I did Google that weird middle name.
Oh, yes.
Rapily or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a Dutch last name.
Oh, okay. So
probably a familial name for him.
Probably, but it was like...
I know, kind of hits you in the face considering.
Yeah, when you read it, because it looks like you could just say it rapily. Mm-hmm. And considering his stuff.
Yeah.
What he's done, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have for you tonight, everybody.
Yeah.
I just, I'm about worn out. I'm glad it's about the end of the year because we need things to go better. We need them to go better.
Yeah.
We need them to go like they did with the governor in Michigan's case where it was thwarted before anyone was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, how do we get the criminal justice system working like that a lot better? I don't know. I don't know the answer other than focusing on prevention is just not something that the justice system in the U.S. does.
Yeah.
This is an after the fact situation, mm-hmm. you know, that I wish we could get better at the prevention side.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, that is what we have for you. We will be back tomorrow night. For those of you that are members of our YouTube channel or are subscribed to our Patreon, we mm-hmm. are doing the Psychic Hour tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Mountain. It is a live stream. Of course, it's a closed live stream for those of you that have access. And I did want to say, because somebody mentioned this, people have been having a difficult time finding the live stream on YouTube. It is in the members area. Remember, you're a member of the YouTube channel. So you go to the members area of the YouTube channel, and that's where you'll find our live streams. Mm-hmm. For the Psychic Hour. So I hope that helps, because we know that the notifications coming from YouTube, not great. So hopefully, you know, this will make it a little simpler for you. But go to the members area. That's where you'll find our live stream tomorrow night. And it's already posted. You'll see that it's already there counting down until we go live. So hopefully you can see that and it'll make it easier for you to locate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. And you know it. We are the True Crime Squad.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.